This is a good time to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely near in the Just the musicians softly, please. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We know that you love us too. And Lord, we just give thanks to you for your great plan for us. Not only the plan down through the ages, but the way you're going to help us today. Help us to enter in, to be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, we just look to you with adoration and with worship, O Lord. And today we just refresh ourselves under the power of the blood. We pray you would cleanse us from anything that does not belong and cause us, O Lord, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to sing in a moment, In the Presence of Jehovah, God Almighty. They were playing that earlier, but I... want to just share with you something first. Two things, actually. I'd like to thank the Lord for my father. Those of you here, most of you knew him. Those of you on the internet, some of you will know my father who passed away. He was just a man of faith, and he walked with God. And we're feeling the effect of prayer in our family. It's made a difference, and we're not suffering. We're missing him and wish we could have him with us, but we just thank God for his life and his ministry and for the time we had with him. We thank the Lord for that. And he was doing so well cognitively. He passed away on a Sunday and all through Saturday, sleeping off and on, but when he was awake, he was fully aware and talking about honeybees, and we were singing, all of us together, in his room in the hospital, and he would suggest songs, and he would harmonize, and he was just so good. And then Saturday after the night, he didn't wake up again, just slipped away around midnight. But I think it was in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, he was lying there quietly, and I thought I saw his lips begin to move, and I leaned a little bit closer. It was just me by with him in the room all by myself, and I heard him say, "Praise the Lord." Those were the final words that he said. And I thank God for that, because not only was he worshiping, but it's instruction for us. We should praise the Lord. He's so good. We get such joy, Dwayne and Lise and I, going into the prison and being with the boys, and they teach us things. One of the boys just seemed to have a fearless love of God in the jail, and when the night lunch would come, he would bow and pray for his meal. Just had that kind of lovely charisma about him. And then he would cross himself afterwards. It was beautiful to watch. We asked him one evening if he would just pray out loud, and he said some words that I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, "Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us all a wonderful day, and I hope you have a wonderful day too." I thought it was refreshing for me that we can also wish God a wonderful day. Why not? Why not say, "Good morning, Lord. I hope you have a wonderful day." And it changed something in me to hear that. So let's sing to him in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. I'd like the musicians to watch the rhythm a little bit, and I'll try to help with that, and we'll get underway. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace,
Prince of Peace,
troubles vanish, yours.
Troubles vanish,
hearts are mended.
Hearts are mended
in the presence.
In the presence of the King.
Raise your hands if you will.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish.
Praise God. This book has just such great news for the church. I just want to read a little bit. You don't have to turn, but while standing, listen to this. Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 3, he says in verse 8, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." Listen to verse 10. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church." The things that God will accomplish, He could do it sovereignly, but He's going to do it through you and me. He's going to take vessels that we feel unqualified, but in His hands, anything is possible. I have a little gyroscope that I take to the jail, and if you get the inside of it spinning really well, and then you spin the outside of it, it goes faster and faster until it just hums really loud. And there's so much power in that gyroscope when it's in a hand that knows how to handle it. And without the right hand, it's limp and useless. But in the right hand, there's so much power. And that's the way we are in God. Through the church, He will make known, not just to the world, but to principalities and powers. We are going to see God move through the church and totally unseat anything that Satan has ever done. Because everything that is related to death and sin will be repealed, and the force of the kingdom of God will overtake it. Praise His name. And so to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. And it goes on to say, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." I think that we could ask God to revive our ability to open our mouths and worship Him in a way that's so audible that together we would raise our voices and worship Him. There's something about doing that together corporately and privately, but you're not quiet about it. We're blessed in our local church. We have a couple of new ladies that have come and joined us, and they don't worry about being quiet. They like to worship God. They like to enter into prayer, and they help us to be regenerated in that worship that's important in the church. That we open our mouths, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So I would like if we would sing together the Lord's Prayer and then just worship Him after we sing that together. Let's sing the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, which art
sing it to Him.
Thy will be done.
bless your holy name, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. One of the secrets to worshiping God out loud is we have to open our mouth. And if we're shy, that's hard. It was for me. But he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's gonna do everything you ever dreamed and more. And I think that deserves a little bit of us laying down our timidness and just loving him and telling him so and worshiping him. Let's just take some time and tell him we love him. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless you, God. We are worthy. We bless your holy name, O Lord God. We bless your holy name. We give you glory and honor and praise, for you are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you honor and praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name, O Lord, praise your name, O Lord, praise your name, O God. Hallelujah.
presence.
I am here, Lord, to lift up your holy name. I am here, Lord, basking in your glory. I am here, Lord, enclosed and surrounded as choirs of angels joining, singing your praises. I am here, Lord, waiting in your presence. I am here, Lord, to lift up your holy name. I am here, Lord, basking in your glory. I am here, Lord, enclosed and surrounded as choirs of angels joining, singing your praises. We are here, Lord, waiting in your presence. We are here, Lord, to lift up your holy name. We are here, Lord, basking in your glory. We are here, Lord, enclosed and surrounded as choirs of angels joining, singing your praises. Can we try to sing it together? We are here, Lord, waiting in your presence. We are here, Lord, to lift up your holy name. We are here, Lord, basking in your glory. We are here, Lord, enclosed and surrounded as choirs of angels joining, singing your praises. We are here, Lord, waiting in your presence. We are here, Lord, to lift up your holy name. We are here, Lord, basking in your glory. We are here, Lord, enclosed and surrounded as choirs of angels joining, singing your praises.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Up on high.
us sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, Lord. We sing hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Let's give thanks to Him. Give thanks for Him moving by His Spirit. It says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ would sing in the congregation. And that's what just happened. He sang here by the Spirit through you worshiping Him. When you open your mouth, He is worshiping through you. And we get to praise the Lamb, the Bride, gets to worship He who is coming for us. Let us give thanks with a grateful heart. Brother Terry, would you come up and help me with the prayer request, please? Just come on up.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ.
As we take these requests, Brother Terry.
The first request is on behalf of Sister Vivian Stinson of Winnipeg. Vivian Stinson deals with pressures in her head on a daily basis, and she is asking the body to uphold her in prayer as it is very uncomfortable. She also is unable to hear any longer, and that makes it very difficult for her as well. And this is submitted by Eugene and Chanda Patterson. Sister Stinson goes back to the early years of this move of the Spirit, as does her husband. And we want to hold them both up in prayer this morning. Those who have gone before us and are still with us, praise God.
Yes.
We want to give God the honor for them being a part of this great body. Father, we thank You this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is not only the Savior of our souls, but He is the healer of our bodies. He is the King of glory, and He is the King of this kingdom which we are. So, Father, this morning we reach out in spirit unto the Stinsons,
yes,
in Winnipeg, and particularly Sister Vivian this morning, as she deals with these pressures in her head on a daily basis, as the prayer request reads. And she is asking the body that we will uphold her in prayer. She finds it very uncomfortable. Lord, you are the comforter. You are the healer. You are the comforter. We ask you this morning to wrap your loving arms around about them both and speak words of peace to the depth of their being, that there be no confusion whatsoever, and that her head be cleared.
Yes,
God, we would ask also that you would restore her hearing.
Yes,
believing in faith, we reach out unto you this morning as a united people in a united prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Those of us from North Battleford Local Church, we know Earl Miller. He's a very dear brother to us. And he has a serious lung condition, which the doctors have been unable to determine the cause. Please pray that the Lord will deliver Earl. This is submitted by Richard Holt. Let's remember Earl. This is urgent. And we, Earl is a recipient of the covenant of Christ as a believer. We just want to intervene on his behalf in prayer that God would just remove this thing today. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for salvation and for the life that Earl has lived before you, dear Lord, before us. Whenever we're with him, Lord, we feel stronger in Christ. We just thank you for his life, and we pray, dear God, that as the doctors don't know what's wrong, we thank you that you do. And Lord, we stand in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood against this affliction. We pray that even as when you were here and every disease crumbled before the power of your presence, that even now, dear Lord, as we join many others in praying and those on the internet praying right now, dear Lord, that you'll raise the man up today, dear Lord, and there'll be no evidence that he was ever sickened from this infection. God, eradicated from him by the power that is so resident in you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, brother. We'll sing once more, give thanks with a grateful heart, and we'll have Brother Sunbow come. And let's be up-tempo on this, okay? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a holy heart. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy Spirit. He's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. You may be seated. And while I have just one more moment here, I see my brother Murray here and my sister-in-law Ruby. And God bless you guys for, and Lorna and Gary for the way you've cared for our mom and dad. They've just been just stellar in the way they have ministered to Mom and Dad in Shelbrooke and in the passing of Dad. We don't see Lorna here very much, but she was just a gem in ministering to Dad. And in that those closing hours, as Dad lay in his bed and was nearing the glory realms and was maybe even starting to breathe new air from the heavenly realms, Lorna read to my dad the chapter 11 of Hebrews about the faithful who'd gone before, and then the beginning of chapter 12, seeing then that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but praise God. Thank you, Murray and Ruby and Gary and Lorna. I'll pass that on to you and the rest of the family too. And from my mom, thank you for your prayers.
Father, we give you thanks this morning. We praise your holy name. Father, without you, without your Spirit, we can accomplish nothing. For the mind of man will surely get it wrong. He will see only with natural eyes. Father, this morning, open our spiritual ears. Let us see with spiritual eyes, and let us understand with spiritual understanding. Father, bless us together this morning. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always with trepidation that I stand here. I never get used to it. I don't know quite how to describe it. It's not really fear, it's just close. I was thinking it was maybe a little bit like when your first child comes into your home. That's an emotion you can't describe. It's trepidation. It's a certain amount of fear. It's a certain amount of joy. It's all of those things. It's all mixed together. Thank goodness for Irene, or it would have been a mess. I remember one time I asked her, I'd heard the children, when they have tantrums, they flop on the floor and hold their breath. They get blue and pass out. What are we going to do? She said, after they pass out, they'll start to breathe. I said, all right, simple enough. Well, we don't have all the answers always. We didn't always have all the answers when we raised our children. We don't have all the answers this morning in the spiritual realm. We might as well admit that. But we have what we have. We have what God has revealed, and that is as sure can be. When Marcus spoke to us last night, it stirred my heart a bit because I'd been thinking somewhat along the same vein, I guess. The focus of what I will attempt to say to you this morning is a little different. He dealt on the grand finale, sonship. Mine may be more expressed maybe with the lead up to it. I think they're both important. And I trust that the Spirit of the Lord might help me to say it, right. You can never really be sure that you can get it right. But by the anointing, he can take what you say, what a man says, and he can make it find a place in your heart. I trust that the Lord will do that this morning, even through a vessel that is not, that is far from perfect. The thing that had been going over in my heart for, I guess, weeks, it was just a phrase. It was, as so often happens with me, it's a word, it's a phrase. And this was it. I will restore. And I thought about it. I knew it was in Scripture. And you know, when the Lord puts something on your heart, you find it all over in the Scripture. You find it far more than what you really realized it was there. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord kind of brings something to your attention. When I was when I was living back in Birch Hills, it seems like eons ago. Isn't it amazing how time flies? And you know, I even hardly think about the place anymore. And I thought about it a lot at first because it was my home. Anyway, won't talk about that. But while I was there, I was involved in the startup of a museum, and I worked there diligently for quite a few years before I left. And do you know, to restore means to bring back to its original state. And in the museum, we had artifacts such as old implements and vehicles and things that were brought in to the museum. And it was a mess when it came in there. Like the untrained eye would look at this thing and say, put it in the garbage, throw it in the junk heap. But there were people in that organization who said, oh no, there's a beauty here. Because he could remember, he was likely old enough to remember what it looked like in its original state. Oh no, this is something that can be restored. It is not junk. It's a thing of beauty to someone who remembers what it originally looked like. In the mind's eye, he can see what restoration will do to an old artifact. And I saw it happen time and time again. Not by me. I couldn't restore anything. But there were those who could. There are multitudes in our society today who are like the old tractor. They have suffered devastation of age, of sickness and disease. Some due to bad choices, resulting in messed up lives, and out of tune with God. There was a time when I was out of tune with God. No other way to describe it. I was marching to my own drummer. And some of you can testify to the same, I am sure. Out of tune. But the Master, the Restorer, sees regardless of the state of disrepair, what each one can become. A life turned over to the Savior is a thing of beauty. A restored life. God is in the business of changing lives, changing behavior, of renewing minds, of restoring what the enemy has eaten away, and of reconciling fractured relationships. There is no relationship that he can't mend, that he can't repair. If the hearts are willing, if the hearts are willing, he takes what the world has given up on and bestows purpose and motivation for good rather than for evil. He can take the self-life and turn it into the selfless life. We all have a little self-life in us. You want to be honest with yourself this morning? Or are you just sunbow talking again? Is there an amen to that? Oh, couple. He can take the self-life, my self-life, and he can turn it into the selfless life. He sees not what men and women are, but what they can become. Isn't that what he saw in the disciples? Fishermen, rough men, men who were, society would cast away, of no value. He saw what Peter would become in all of them. Just remember, he sees you the same way as he saw those disciples. He imparted to you what you can use to his glory and to his honor and to his praise. Hallelujah. The songwriter said in the chorus, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. He is making something beautiful of our lives. Hallelujah. When I was preparing this, I was reminded of a poem. Well, there he goes again with his poetry. I was reminded of a poem that I have appreciated over a lot of years. It is called The Touch of the Master's, no, pardon me. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. It's written by Myra Brooks Welch. It illustrates what we are talking about here. I'm going to read it to you. You probably know it. It means even more to me. Because when my father passed away, Irene and I got most of his poetry together, and we put it in a little booklet form. I'll give you a little nugget here. We could have done it while he lived. But did we? No. We did it after he died. Here it is. Wouldn't it have been nice? Wouldn't it have been nice? Wouldn't it have been sensible to do it while he lived and present it to him at his birthday or something like that. Just remember that. Just remember things like that. Anyway, we ended the book with the touch of the master's hand. Why? Because he was a very good violinist, that's why. And I often chided him for not passing any of his talent on to me. The touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste such time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Now two, only two? $2? Who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, three. Going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up all the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who will make it two? $3,000? Once and 3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" The man replied, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and torn with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of the soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. When Israel wandered away from the plan of God, his purpose was to bring them back, to restore them to a harmonious relationship with himself. God is always interested in restoration and reconciliation. His overarching purpose is to restore his creation. I don't know that there was anything that thrilled my heart more. I guess salvation thrilled it more. But when I sat in under the anointing of the previous brethren, and I heard the ministry of reconciliation, I thought, wow. I thought, that is so like God. Does he only get just a little wee chunk of this entire creation of his? I think not. He has in mind his entire creation. And it isn't my purpose to go into that into detail this morning. But I don't think we should ever lose sight of. We are just one small little group. Small frogs in big ponds. And we're important to God. Don't misunderstand me. But his ultimate goal is his creation. And he says to you and to me, play your part. Play your part in it. That's all. He'll look after it. Somebody said, minister, I can't remember who, said, don't worry so much about changing everything. spending your time and efforts. I've got to change this, and I've got to change that, and I've got to change the other thing. You know, a lot of that is God business and not yours. God business. And he's good at it. And we're not so good at it. Okay. His overarching purpose is his creation. What was lost in Adam, the life, the living soul, is being restored in Christ, the life-giving spirit. The living soul is wonderful. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. But I'll tell you something more wonderful. The Bible says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. And that's what he wants from you and from me. That's what he wants us to be, life-giving spirits. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Have you ever been groping in darkness? I mean physical darkness. You ever had to grope? You ever had the electricity go, bang. It's darker than, you can't hardly see anything. What are you doing? Where did we put the matches? Where are the candles? You know, this doesn't happen very often, does it? Groping around to find the thing you need. First for a little bit of light. Out of darkness, where? To his marvelous light. I can't even imagine what light like that must be. I just know that I've experienced a little bit of it when he came into my heart. He took some darkness out of there and he replaced it with light. Darkness is when you grope to find your way. Light, the absence of darkness, is when you can see to walk without groping. Light is walking without stumbling over every obstacle that might be in your way that you do not see when you're walking in darkness. God is restoring straight paths in which to walk. Straight paths. He makes crooked places straight, the scripture says. He can make our pathway straight. I couldn't find the author of this quote, but I like it. In fact, when I looked it up on the internet, I found the quote, and it said, "Author unknown." So if somebody happens to know that there really is an author for this, well, fine. I just don't know who it is. Spiritual maturity is not measured by how high you jump in praise, but rather by how straight you walk in obedience. Samuel said to Saul, "To obey is better than sacrifice." There is nothing wrong with either praise or sacrifice. In fact, they are both important in our Christian walk. But it is by obedience that we separate ourselves from the flesh and unto the will of God. It is by obedience that that happens. You belong to the power which you choose to obey. Whether you choose sin, whose reward is death, or God, obedience to whom means the reward of righteousness. Romans 6:16, that was quoted from the Phillips. Excuse me for a moment. Some months ago, here in the North Battleford Assembly, at a prayer meeting, let me put in a little plug here. Things happen at prayer meetings. Things happen at prayer meetings. If you can be there, I strongly urge you to be there. This was at a prayer meeting. Brother Brian sang a song that I had never heard before. And I asked him where the words to that song were. And he said, well, he thought it would be on the internet. What else? Everything else is on the internet. And the song was titled, I Will Restore. I looked it up. And I found the words. And I'm going to just, I can't sing, so, or I don't know the tune anyway, but I'm going to just quote them to you. What was lost in battle, what was taken unlawfully, where Satan has planted his seed, and where health is ailing, and where strength is failing, I will restore. I will restore to you, I will restore to you all of this and more. I will restore to you all of this and more. And that's repeated a couple of times. And then in the next verse it says, when your heart is breaking, and where your dreams are forsaken, and when it seems what was promised will not be given to you, and where peace is confusion and reality an illusion, I will restore to you all of this and more. We are aware of a well-known restoration verse in the Bible found in Joel, the second chapter, where it says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. I think that has application to more than just natural Israel and those that army of destroyers being sent into their crops. The destroyer is among us, has eaten away far too much in our lives. I was just thinking as I walked up to this platform, I don't ever remember going to use that handrail when I walked up here ever before. That was the first time, I think. Do I want to use that handrail? No. Do I think I maybe should? Yes. Because I've had some things eaten away. I've had some things eaten away in my life, in my physical life. But God says He will restore. Somebody's going to make an announcement here before this service is over. We think it's the mind of the Lord to have a meeting where many can be prayed for, where the locusts have come, the palmer worms, the caterpillars have eaten away. We have a restorer in our midst, our brothers and sisters. We have a restorer in our midst. And he goes on to say, in that second chapter of Joel, I love this. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. You have any dreams lately, Gordon? You're getting old. Well, I'm about the same age, and any dreams I have are pretty foolish most of the time. But I'll tell you something. I dream quite a bit when I'm not in bed, when I'm not sleeping. I have some dreams about what God is going to do. I thought as I prepared this, how great thou art. I thought about his greatness and how he is in control of all things. I've told this little story to some of the local assemblies in the Saskatchewan area, and I like to tell it because it's a happy story. Margaret and Irene, Marie, have a brother. His name is Wilbur. Some of you will remember him from years gone by. He lives in Melford, in an apartment there. And this poor man has suffered many, many years with epilepsy, starting at about age 10. As he got older, he was not only afflicted with that, but he was afflicted with paranoia. We have prayed much for Wilbur. One day, shortly after he moved to Melford, Reuben and Joseph Amundson paid him a visit. They prayed for him, as they had done many, many times before. It wasn't too long after that that we noticed, when we talked to him, there was no sign of the paranoia. We asked others, have you seen any sign of this? They said, no. We talked to him on a fairly regular basis, on the telephone. Not a sign. Not a sign of it. And it was very evident at one time. I talked to him not too long ago, and he said, Mervyn, the doctor has taken me off of my epilepsy or seizure medication. He said, I still have a little trouble at night. He said, I'm fine during the day. He's the God of the night and the God of the day. Yes. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm working on my stability so I won't need this walker any longer. He says, I think if I get off of that medication, it's going to help my stability. And he said, maybe I can get my driver's license back. Why not? Why not? God is able. And so your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I am so pleased about the remnant. God always has a remnant. There's always been a remnant down through the scriptures, down through history. Those that did not depart from the word of God and knew that where they stood with him and wanted to walk on with him. There's always a remnant.
Yes. Amen. That's right. Amen.
But instead, just so that you don't get thinking you are somebody, what is a remnant? A small remaining quantity. A small remaining quantity. God has his, he knows how many people he needs. He knew how many people Gideon needed. He knows how many people we need. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not for having people added to the church. I'm all for that. But God is in charge of the remnants. How big they become to do what he wants to do. I believe we are that remnant that God wants to work with and whoever he wishes to add to it. And we can play a part in that addition, I am sure. This scripture speaks to not only the restoration of the church, but of the entire creation. At the beginning of the move of the Spirit, 70 years, was it, Terry? 70 years. 47 to 17. At the beginning of the move of the Spirit, I wasn't there, but I understand the prophecy came. At this time, I'll restore the nine gifts of the Spirit, and they will be imparted by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. This truth, restored in the early days of the move of the Spirit, is as good today as it was when it was uttered. Down through the ages, from the fall of Adam, it has been God's purpose to restore all that was lost, and that restoration comes through Christ. There is no other way. The restoration is through Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. It would seem by what we read in the scriptures that God's restoration plan began immediately after the fall of man. I just point out to you that the tree of life remained, which is a strong indication that God would restore all that was lost, and that restoration would come through his Son, Jesus Christ. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there. Genesis 2:9. Today we have a choice. We can eat of the tree of life, which is Christ, or we can eat of the tree of knowledge, which is the world. The former brings life, the latter brings death. Now, just in case someone here is thinking, here's this school teacher, doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't believe in education any longer. You know, people get some funny notions in their head when you say things like I just said. No, I'm not against education. But I just want to say this. It is not the answer. It is not the answer to the world's problems. I thought at one time, if we just could get everybody educated, Boy, we would it would be easy street after that. Well, I don't know whether we've ever been so educated as a society. Do you look at the same world that I look at? Not very good, is it? Education hasn't done it. It hasn't solved the problems. It isn't solving the problems. The tree of knowledge is the world. The former brings life, the latter brings death. We see that what Adam and Eve really partook of was the tree of death. Because the Lord God said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It was the tree of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And then in John 6:48-51, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Where is the life that you seek and that I seek? It is not in the world. It is in Christ. The world will fail you. The flesh will fail you. It has down through the ages, and it will continue to fail. Christ will not fail. He is the answer to this world's problems. That's why the plan of God was through Christ, through his life, through his death, through his glorious resurrection. There is the answer to my problems, to yours, and to the world's. So we see from the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God's plan of restoration begins with his divine protection of the tree of life. So he drove out the man. That's Adam. And he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Obviously, this was important to God. This had to be guarded. It could not be destroyed. It wasn't really part of the curse. It escaped the curse. Adam and Eve are driven out. What a mess they made for us. But God has a plan of restoration. It's taking time. But it will happen. And it will conclude, as Marcus said, with sonship. But you know, have you ever thought about what after? I know we get into the high places here, maybe. I think that's the beginning. Sonship is a beginning. It's an end in a sense. That's what, you know, that's we want to reach that. We want to reach that. But what after? I can't take you down that road. But it's not going to be an ending. It's going to be a beginning. The tree of life is spoken of in many places in Scripture and appears again in Revelation 2:7 and in 22:2. I see my time is almost gone. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to say something here. You are in the process of overcoming. You are in the transformation stage of overcoming. And to he who overcomes, who perseveres, I will give to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. In the midst of the paradise. You see, the tree was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. Now in Revelation, it's in the midst of the paradise of God. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of what? For the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. See the plan of God? See how all-inclusive the plan of God is? For the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Irene, there shall be no more curse. No more weeds back out here in the garden. No more need for chemical. No more need for hospitals. It's all part of the curse, isn't it? The curse will be removed. Hallelujah! If that isn't restoration, I don't know what it is. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Oh, hallelujah. And they shall reign forever and ever. What is this but the restoration of the creation by the Creator, Almighty God? In many places in the Scriptures, we see how God demonstrated his restorative powers. He turned what appeared to be evil into good in order that his name might be glorified. We can look at examples of those. We don't have time to do it. He did that for Job. He did that for Joseph. He did it for Moses. He did it for many, many in the Scriptures. He restored what was lost. And I'm going to conclude with this. I was reading Brother Witter's article, Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. I had read it quite a few weeks ago, and then I see it's been reprinted in the July 2017 issue, the one we just received. Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. And I'm going to quote a short paragraph from it that fits what I'm talking about. This is what he says. Nothing is impossible with God. And I have been amazed at how often the words all and every nation are used in the Scriptures. If, listen to this, if at the time of the Tower of Babel, God could, by confusing their tongues, divide and separate men, he is able in the end to bring them together again. It may look hopeless, but there is nothing impossible with God. He has no limitations. Let us remember that he has no limitations. Your mind has limitations, but God has none. His storehouse is always full. He has what you need. He has what you need. You may go into a store someday and ask for something that you can't find on the shelf, and they may not have it in stock. Or they may not be stocking it anymore. Or whatever the reason, they don't have it. God's storehouse is full. Whatever the need, it's full. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. I think healing is a good thing. I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. I think the impartation of gifts of the Spirit is a good thing. I think water baptism is a good thing. I don't want to ask for things that aren't good for me. I want to ask for things that I know God says in His Word are good for me. God will restore all that has been eaten away. God is restoring. He requires of you and me a willing and obedient heart. Hallelujah. Announcements. By the way, I'm going to start with announcements. I dropped the ball last night as far as the after-service snack was concerned. I just missed it, and I'm sorry about that. It might be a good sign that I should be getting out of it, so just keep that in mind. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. I won't take time to give the announcement now, but I'll give it tonight.
A reminder, we have a lot of children on the grounds, which is wonderful. So when you're driving on the grounds in your car, be extremely careful. Please drive very, very slow. Drive at a snail's pace for the protection of our children. Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're going to have a meeting for the sick, for those that need healing, for those that need a touch on their bodies. Now, I'm not trying to just announce this as an event. I'm announcing it so that you can prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Come prepared. Come with a spirit of anticipation. Come with a spirit of expectation. Come looking for restoration. Come looking for demonstration. Let's look to the Lord that we can go beyond proclamation of the gospel, but also demonstration of the gospel. When I say preparation, those of you that have a ministry in intercession, I'd like to call on you even today to begin interceding for Wednesday night. Begin to pray, begin to call on God on behalf of those that need a touch in their bodies. Those that have the gift of faith, the gift of healing, you begin to look to God even today in preparation for Wednesday night. Those that are listening on live stream, if you have a ministry, a gift of intercession, you begin to pray for Wednesday night. Those that are listening on live stream, if you need a touch in your body, you look to the Lord for Wednesday night as well. If you feel to fast and pray, that's up to you. Not everyone can do that. But if some of you feel you have that ministry and that ability to fast and pray, you just listen to the Lord in preparation for Wednesday night that we might see great things. One last verse. We read this verse when we take the communion, and the scripture talks about the communion, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For he that eateth and drinketh with the communion unworthily eats and drinks condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body," use that phrase. "For this cause many are sick and weak among you, and some have died." But he uses the phrase, "haven't discerned the body of Christ." I'd like to encourage us to discern the body of Christ intercessors, those with the gift of faith, those with the gift of healing. And you begin to prepare yourself for a mighty outpouring on Wednesday night. Amen.
This is a message for the children. Today, 6 to 12-year-olds will be meeting in the cloud room. We need to register you, though, so you need to come at 2:45. The preschoolers are also meeting. Brenda will give that announcement. But we need to register the preschoolers as well, so if you could come at 2:45 as well. And just a heads up, tomorrow we are going swimming at the rec center. And so we are this year going to request that you pay in advance so we can get through into the pool a little faster. And so when you register, if you could bring your money, that would be appreciated. Otherwise, we'll just let you pay at the pool and stand in line. So 6 to 12-year-olds, if you could please bring $5. If you are 7 or under, you need to bring an adult with you into the water, and the charge for them is $8. If you are bringing your preschooler, 3 to 5 is $3. And if you have a family that is going, come and talk to me, because there is a little bit of a discount that we can give you, but it's very complicated, so don't bother the girls that are doing the registration with that. I can look after that for you. So we're registering at 2:45, and tomorrow we're going swimming. One thing that we were wanting was cell phone numbers for a contact. If you got hurt on the playground and your mom and dad aren't there or something like that, then we would have a contact. So if you don't know your mom's phone number or whatever, maybe you could bring them with you, or you could have it written down that we could have that on our registration form as well. So 2:45, money for swimming, and your parents' cell phone number.
The preschoolers will meet today in the bottom of the cloud room at 3:00, and if I could meet with some of the mums that could possibly help me out, maybe we could meet at 2:00 in the bottom of the cloud room and just go over a few things. Thank you.
We need a few extra hands for the noon meal today. But before I say that, we need 8 men and ladies who can help with the vegetables at 2:00. Could you show hands if you can come and help? Just stand if you would. That would help. If you can help so I can easier to count. There's 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. Perfect. Thank you. 9. 9's good. And then for the noon meal, I think Stan Hingston is going to be supervisor over there. They need a few more hands. So how many of you feel like you could just bump up a little bit and help at noon today? Yeah, thank you. There's quite a few. Awesome. See you there.
There's quite a few more of you here today than there were yesterday, so I'll repeat the registration announcement. There are two of us that will be taking turns sitting at the desk. It's myself and Nancy. And if you see Nancy there, she can take your registration payment through cash or check. And if you see me there, you can pay through cash, check, debit, or credit, because I have the technology on my phone. So we will be there during the meal times every day through the week. Thank you.
This is just a warning so that you can put it on your calendar. On Thursday, we would like to take a group to sing at Caleb Village, and we will be singing all songs that you know out of the Red Book. So if you enjoy coming and ministering to others in a group, we always have a wonderful time. We find that the singers are as blessed as those who hear. So please keep that in mind. We'll be starting to sing there at 3 p.m., so we'll probably meet at the back of the tabernacle a little before 2:30. But I'll make another announcement again on Thursday. I just wanted you to think about it and sort of put it on your schedule for Thursday. Thanks.
Just a reminder that for the empty nesters and seniors or those that are alone and would like to have a time of fellowship and not have to stay in your room by yourself, at 3 o'clock we gather in the dining room, the old dining room upstairs, and you're most welcome. There we serve, the ladies are serving tea and coffee and some very nice little things that some of the ladies brought for you to enjoy. So you're most welcome to come. 3 o'clock.
13 and older again at 2 o'clock here. And before all you young men walk out, all the young men that are 35 and younger, we'd like you to come just this time. We have something we want to talk to you about. And I'm going to see if I'm as charismatic as Brian, my sign-up sheet. I need one young man for tonight. Oh, I guess I'm not as charismatic. One young man for tonight in the men's dorm. Or the young men's dorm. Boys' dorm, sorry. Well, why don't all the young men under 35 just stand up for a minute? Just so you know, I'm not prejudiced, I'm going to say, who has a last name that ends with D? H. L. Oh, we got one. Wonderful, wonderful volunteer. So I've also, I'm going to leave the sign-up sheet for the, we only need one for the ladies because there's another lady that is in that building with the young girls as well. I'm going to leave the sheet, sign-up sheet, by the right at the front of the food lineup, and we have a man and a woman for tonight as well. So the rest of the week is open, and let's stand. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your manifold blessings. We thank you that you don't just give us all we need. You give us more and overflowing. Father, just bless the meal today. Bless each one as they partake. Let it be strength to their body, dear Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.